The following episode of K-Voice was produced on February 27th, 2017. Enjoy the show.
Dear politician, here's a few things you'll need to know if you want to represent the people all your life. Let's pick out a date. We need a town hall, babe. Not on the phone, I'm talking you and me face to face. If you don't treat us right, we'll complicate your life. Vote for what we need. Vote, vote on everything. You got a civic pride, but baby, so do I. So don't be thinking I'll be home and baking apple pies. We never passed a law, but we can bust your balls. Sing along with me, sing, sing along with me. You gotta know how to listen to a lady, and all that you make is crazy. When you tell us everything's alright, this guy is not alright.
Dear politician, Indivisible Martin with Dear Brian Mast.
We won. Another win for the resistance and for the future of America. Huffington Post reported in the most expensive special election in Delaware history, a contest to decide which party controls the state Senate, Democrat Stephanie Hansen annihilated her Republican rival on the back of an extraordinary turnout. The last time her appointment, John Marino, ran in this district in 2014, he lost by just 2 points. Hansen's 58-42% victory over Marino on Saturday ensured that Democrats will maintain control of the state Senate. This is a huge notch in our belt. We have taken a huge step towards proving that the resistance is more than just talk and silly-looking hats. We have put our money, our time, and our votes where our mouth is. I needed this. Faith in the resistance and proof are very different things. I am happy to see where it really matters that we are getting it done. More than 1,000 volunteers worked during the course of the campaign, and about 500, many of whom were from nearby states, showed up on Saturday for Election Day. Hansen received more than $1,400 in contributions of less than $100 from small donors spread all over the country. Groups like Sister District, Flippable, and Invisible helped organize volunteers. For many of the volunteers, this was the first time they had ever been involved in a political campaign. Her election was not a sure thing. The district does lean Democratic, but this Republican was popular. Dems notoriously suck at turning out for special and midterm elections. Special elections. Special elections, which are held outside the normal electoral calendar, take place for reasons such as death of an elected official, the resignation of a lawmaker, and assignment to another political office. There were 70 state legislative and U.S. congressional special elections in 2016, with 50 governors, 100 senators, 435 congressmen, and 7,383 state legislatures in the country, there will always be numerous special elections across the United States. If we learn nothing else from the current horror film we are living through, let it be that elections matter. Hopefully, the pervasive nihilism, apathy, and ignorance of the civic process takes a sharp and lasting turn in this new America. Special elections are overlooked by media and voters, which leaves an opening to swoop in and take back seats in the same way Republicans have always done. In special elections, the most organized local party tends to prevail. What do you say we do it again in Georgia for John Ossoff? John Ossoff, the John Lewis-endorsed 30-year-old former Capitol Hill staffer who is running to replace Representative Tom Price in Georgia's 6th Congressional District. The Act Blue page for Daily Kos set up for activists to support Ossoff raised more than $800,000 in a week, double what they raised for Senator Elizabeth Warren's entire Senate bid. The Ossoff campaign also has had 5,000 volunteers sign up. Parking lots at his meet and greets overflow, and 200 people showed up to volunteer for him on Saturday. The general election is April 18th, and the runoff is June 20th. Local elections matter. After Georgia, let's do it again. I'm talking to you, Michigan. Your special election is coming up. I have mentioned Flippable, whose mission is to turn America blue by building a movement to flip seats. I'm going to read to you from their site, as I think they are doing some of the most important work there is to do right now. We focus on state races, which play a huge role in national elections, but are overlooked. Information about these races is hard to find, and busy people don't have the time to sift through it. That's where we come in. We'll tell you which races are most important, who's running, and how you can support them. See our upcoming elections page to support a candidate in the Flippable District now. At Flippable, we draw attention to upcoming special elections around the country. We focus our community's resources on our target districts, where volunteer hours and dollars can go the furthest. With the support of an informed and energized community, we are providing an electoral means to resist Trump's administration. You can be a part of the effort to turn America blue. Sign up for our newsletter and support our candidates. If you live in a district with a special election, vote, volunteer, give, and raise awareness. If your district doesn't have an upcoming special election, you can still play an important role. You can help us turn local races into national news by spreading the word on social media. You can donate, phone bake, and canvass in person. You can help others understand the significant impact of special elections. Every 4 years, we have an election that captures the world's attention, but every few weeks, there's a special election that goes virtually unnoticed. We can unleash electoral change simply by making the most of these key opportunities. Join us at flippable.org. The people at flippable.org are heroes of the movement. Check them out and get involved. We are the resistance. Heroes of the movement. They are coming in forms big and small, creative and official. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee signed an executive order that bars the state of Washington's agencies from denying services to people based on their citizenship or legal status, and from helping detain immigrants for breaking civil rules. It came after the memos were released by Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly showing his department plan to prioritize the removal of undocumented immigrants who have been convicted of any criminal offense. And again, as a reminder, that includes just being here in the country legally.
This morning, I have just signed executive order number 17-1. This reaffirms the state's commitment to tolerance, diversity, and inclusiveness. This executive order is designed to ensure that all state agencies under my executive authority carry out only those duties and responsibilities prescribed to them in state and federal law. In Washington State, we know this. We do not discriminate based on someone's race, religion, ethnicity, or national origin. That remains true even as federal policies create such uncertain times. But there should be nothing uncertain about where we stand as elected leaders in the state of Washington.
That man is a hero of the resistance. Creatively, Cards Against Humanity co-creator sends Secret Hitler board game to every senator. Secret Hitler board game is a new secret identity board game set in 1933 Germany, and it models the rise of fascism in a democracy. Players fill the role of either a liberal or a fascist and must use cooperation and deception to either prevent or aid the rise of Hitler. How much do you want that game? They are heroes of the resistance. In other creative resistance news, Forbes reported that Jefferson Starship's frontwoman, Grace Slick, licensed her 1987 single, to score an ad for Chick-fil-A. So she says, the Georgia-based company has a well-documented history of funding organizations through their philanthropic foundation, Windshape, that are against gay marriage. In interviews, CEO Dan T. Cathy has critiqued gay rights supporters who have the audacity to define marriage and said they are bringing God's judgment upon the nation. I firmly believe that men should be able to marry men and women women. I am passionately against anyone who would try to suppress the basic human right. So my first thought when Chick-fil-A came to me was, fuck no. She continues to say, I am donating every dime that I make from that ad to Lambda Legal. the largest national legal organization working to advance the civil rights of LGBTQ people and everyone living with HIV. Admittedly, it's not the millions that Windshape has given to organizations that define marriage as heterosexual, but instead of them replacing my song with someone else's and losing this opportunity to strike back at anti-LGBTQ forces, I decided to spend the cash in direct opposition to Chick-fil-A's causes. And to make a public example of them too, we are going to take some of their money and pay it back. Hero. She is a hero. If you hear of any awesome acts of resistance, big or small, please message me on Facebook at K-Voice of Resistance. Monday, there were pro-Trump rallies nationwide called for by the president and Breitbart. 45 tweeted, "Maybe millions of people who voted to make America great again should have their own rally. It would be the greatest of them all." I'm not going to do a Trump impression. There are plenty of excellent ones out there, and I know I can't do them justice. So hear Trump's voice in your mind. Anyways, so these rallies that were supposed to be the biggest of them all, well, they weren't. The largest crowds were at best 100 people or so, and the pictures of the sparsely attended gatherings that have made their way around Twitter are very satisfying. I'll take victories in any form. It is time Democrats start acting like winners, don't you think? We are the majority, and by the numbers, we won. Ezra Klein of Vox says it well.
So Trump is not going to represent the bulk of Americans. He's not even apparently going to try. But somebody needs to. So far, Democrats have slipped very comfortably into the position of minority party. They aren't demanding that Trump put forward compromise candidates for key posts. They aren't laying out a proactive agenda that would serve as their basis for negotiations with Trump and the Republicans. And they aren't, in their public messaging, emphasizing that most voters opposed Trump's agenda and that both Democrats and Republicans need to take that seriously. Democrats have confused being out of power with being in the minority. And that is a mistake. They are out of power. But it's not at all clear that what they represent is a minority. And somebody needs to represent the majority of voters who do not want to buy what Trump is selling.
He goes on to speak of the trouble Republicans are in.
As grim as the situation is for Democrats, and it is grim, it's not going to take long for Republicans to recognize they're in some trouble too. They've lost the popular vote in 6 of the past 7 elections. That has never happened for a political party before. And remember, it's the out-of-power party that tends to gain seats in midterm elections. All of which leaves a real opening for Democrats. If Trump doesn't intend to represent the majority of the country, well, they can. Yeah, they don't hold much power in Congress, but they hold more than Republicans did in 2009, and Republicans are able to cause plenty of problems for Obama's agenda.
That man has a really big brain. Follow him on Twitter at Ezra Klein. We had the election for the DNC chair on Saturday, and the Dems voted for the, quote, more establishment choice. This analysis, which became popular in the media, reportedly belies the facts of each candidate substantively. So far as Tom Perez's and Keith Ellison's positions are concerned, they're near identical. Both are inspiring speakers who support nearly identical strategies that focus on fanning out local support and voting efforts. Ellison was Perez's chief competition, who represented the, what did they call, the more progressive wing of the party? The progressive wing of the party, which is now incensed, and for that reason alone, maybe the Dems should have given it to Ellison. But on the other hand, this way, Ellison gets to stay in Congress so we don't lose a good progressive and influential mind. Ellison, after the vote, told the DNC that we can't afford to leave this room divided, and I say listen to him. I urge all those turned off by this election to find a way to move past it and continue to focus our energy on the real enemy, the GOP. Chuck Schumer of New York and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi of California are still the highest-ranking Democrats. Perez has joined them as cheerleader, fundraiser, organizer, recruiter, and messenger, who will help shape the party's identity. And most importantly, he is in charge of developing a strategy to turn energy into votes. Perez, who won with a lead of 35 votes out of 435, made Ellison his deputy chair. However you feel about this, I say we have a Latino chair of the DNC and a Muslim deputy chair. Let's do this. Time to get to work. The real shame to me is how long it has taken to get to a vote in the first place. Still can't let it go. Still mad about this latest vote and rail against the DNC over your craft brew? Realize, the DNC is a private club. If you don't like the rules, do the work, join the club, and change the way things are done. Prez was voted in by the DNC. I'm going to turn to Wikipedia to explain the DNC. The Democratic National Committee is the formal governing body for the United States Democratic Party. The committee coordinates strategy to support Democratic Party candidates throughout the country for local, state, and national office. It organizes the Democratic National Convention, held every 4 years to nominate and confirm a candidate for president and to formulate the party platform. While it provides support for party candidates, it does not have direct authority over who is elected. The DNC is composed of the chairs and vice chairs of each state Democratic Party committee, and over 200 members elected by Democrats in all 50 states and territories. Its chairperson is elected by the committee. It conducts fundraising to support its activities. The DNC was established at the 1848 National Convention. The DNC's main counterpart is the Republican National Committee. I understand many people were upset about how the DNC, quote, cheated in favoring Hillary over Bernie. Thing is, they didn't cheat. They're a private club doing what they were supposed to do. You don't have to like what they did, but you can't say they cheated, it was unfair, it was undemocratic, etc. Nah, it's just the way the system works. If you don't like it, join the club. You could be a party leader. Step up and lead your local voting precinct, your local county Democratic Party, and join the executive committee. Your local Democratic Party is governed by a state party chair, party officers, and state Democratic Executive Committee members, the SDEC, who are elected in the state convention every 2 years. The chair is empowered by the SDEC to hire an executive director and professional staff to perform the day-to-day functions of the party. County Party Convention. During each even-numbered year, a Democrat may attend their local county senatorial district convention that follows the Democratic primary election. At this first step, attendees must elect delegates to a state convention, which is usually held in late June. Any Democrat who is registered to vote and has taken the oath of affiliation or has voted in the Democratic primary is eligible to attend and participate in their local convention. This convention is the first step in becoming a delegate in the Democratic State Convention, and in presidential election years, to becoming a delegate in the National Democratic Convention and helping to nominate the next President of the United States. State Convention. At the State Convention, delegates elect the chair, vice chair, treasurer, and secretary of the party. The delegates are grouped by state senatorial districts, and they elect two representatives, one man and one woman, to the SDEC. This group performs the statutorily required business of the party. The SDEC has an additional constituency group representatives who participate in all other decisions of the SDEC. Democrats in each county select the county chair through an election held during the primary election. In each county, precinct select precinct chair to represent that area. Together, the county chair and the precinct chairs make up the governing body of Democratic County Party Executive Committees. On my Facebook page, K Voice of Resistance, I have posted a link to the Texas site that I got this information from. They also have extra information that might be a bit of help. I suggest, if you are serious, hitting up your local Democratic committee meeting and seeing how things are run in your state. It's time that we take matters into our own hands. If we don't like the system, it's within our power to fix it. We just need to know how it works.
I know that we can win. I know that greatness lies in you. But remember, from here on in, history has its eyes on.
The Republican tide is turning. Okay, get this. Representative and supporter of Donald Trump, Daryl Issa, Republican of California, my brother's representative, in fact, he said on Real Time with Bill Maher Friday that the Senate and House Intelligence Committees should investigate Russia's ties and said that Attorney Jeff Sessions can't lead the probe. He said, quote, You're going to need to use the special prosecutor's statute and office. He went further to say it would not be enough for Sessions to recuse himself and assign the matter to a deputy because that's another political appointee. Issa, the 9-term town hall dodging former chairman of the House Oversight Committee, had the clarity of thought and fortitude of will to point out that Vladimir Putin murders his enemies. Also, John Kasich admits that we are having a great impact on the debate over the ACA. We, protesters and activists and town hall constituents. He says, quote, there's going to be a problem in the House of getting anything out of there that still provides coverage to people, Kasich said on Face the Nation to host John Dickerson. That's why Republicans have to reach out to some of the Democrats. That was a quote. John Kasich said, that's why the Republicans have to reach out to some of the Democrats. Novel thought, huh? Kasich mentioned that there were some conservatives in the House who were trying to get rid of the entirety of Obamacare. Quote, and that's just not acceptable when you have 20 million people or 700,000 people in my state using Obamacare. Because where do the mentally ill go? Kasich asked. Where do the drug addicted go? Matt Fuller of the Huffington Post reports that Kasich is a proponent of the Medicaid expansion, which allowed states like Ohio to offer Medicaid to a broader range of people, including individuals making roughly $16,000 a year. Conservatives have already indicated that they won't vote for an Obamacare repeal that preserves the Medicaid expansion, while some Senate Republicans have indicated that they won't support the repeal that removes the expansion. That has left the GOP in a bind, and Kasich thinks the answer is to turn to Democrats. How about that? Kasich also said he thought the protests were affecting Republicans. Quote, look, I don't understand everything that's going on with these town halls, but I think it's having an impact on the standpoint of, hey, people are watching, Kasich said. I don't think they mind reform, but they don't want everything taken away, unquote. On Saturday, governors were briefed about the GOP replacement plan, with the expectation that millions could lose coverage. Kasich reiterated that he didn't want to kick 20 million people off of healthcare. This debate was bigger than a political argument. At the end of the day, I'm going to stand up for the people that wouldn't have the coverage if they don't get this thing right. And I happen to believe that the best way to get this right over time is actually for both parties to work together. He could have been president. Hell, he was asked by 45 to be vice president. When I'm fantasizing about a Kasich presidency, you know things are bad. Anyhow, it's not just John Kasich. Mo Brooks of Alabama said, quote, I don't know if we're going to be able to repeal Obamacare now. What we are doing is having a substantial effect on policy and their management of our affairs. Keep at it. We are the resistance. We are what democracy looks like. I am not throwing away my shot to make a difference.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
My 8-year-old nephew loves Hamilton. He is a mixed-race boy, and I was trying to figure out what it is that moved me. In fact, ask yourself, what is it that moves you? Why do you care about this country, and why do you care to do the work or join or at least be curious about the resistance? An easy way to put it is if you were to put on a sign why you march. For a march, why do you march? Who are you doing this for? What? Is it the environment? Is it for somebody? With a history of a mental illness, is it for everybody who won't get health coverage who is mentally ill? Is it for your son or your daughter? For me, I march because my brother had to face his 2 young sons the next morning and tell them that they had to be more careful when they were out and about because things were going to get scary. More scary. I march because he had to tell them that Donald Trump was president. My nephews deserve a chance to live where they can still breathe the air and they can still walk through a forest. I march because my younger nephew loves animals and loves bees. He gets stung by bees, and yet he still loves them. He still picks them up. I march because the bees are going extinct. I march because every man, woman, and child on this planet deserves better. Why do you march? And I thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice, a voice of resistance, on the Crab Diving Network, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to be downloading or streaming me. I ask that you leave some comments or thumbs up me, try to get the word out, share my podcast, share my Facebook page at K-Voice of Resistance. I'm also on Twitter at Kelly the Voice, and be sure to check out the other great programming on the Crab Diving Network, especially the Crab Diving Show with Patrick Vile and Ryan Pfeiffer. I'm Kelly the Voice. I will leave you with the words of the notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and her thoughts on the times in which we are living and the resistance. Take care of yourself and all the ones you love. Catch my fresh new show on Friday. And as always, resist.
As a great man once said that the true symbol of the United States is not the bald eagle, it is the pendulum. And when the pendulum swings too far in one direction, it will go back. Some terrible things have happened in the United States, but one can only hope that we learn from those bad things. I would say that we are not experiencing the best of times. But there's hope in seeing how the public is reacting to it. The Women's March, I've never seen such a demonstration, both the numbers and the rapport of the people in that crowd. There was no violence. It was orderly. So yes, we are not experiencing the best of times. But there's reason to hope that we will see a better day.